Reading the Tax Tea Leaves in Markets. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Markets have mostly responded positively to the progress on the tax overhaul. The Dow is up 2% over the past 5 days. But not all. Some sectors have been a little sour on the news. To parse this a little more, we've got Gabriela Santos, global market strategist with JP Morgan Chase. Good morning, Gabriela.
Good morning.
So markets got a good bump over the weekend when the Senate passed its tax bill. Is that about as far as market reaction is going to go, or is there any more to the market party as this process unwinds over the next few weeks?
We think there might be a little bit more left, and that's because we think really this very strong rally we've been seeing all year has been much, much more based on the actual historical earnings improvements we've seen this year and the really great data we've been seeing in the U.S. and abroad, and much less about corporate tax expectations. So there might be still a little bit of juice left to squeeze here as we see the reconciliation process this week and next week, and as the market fully prices in these corporate and individual tax cuts.
At the same time, though, the tech-heavy NASDAQ yesterday did not have the greatest day. It closed down 1% despite all this fervor over tax reform. What's going on there?
Yesterday specifically, I think it was sparked by the conversation around tax reform and the fact that some sectors will benefit more from the corporate tax cut than others. So tech already has a very low effective tax rate of 18.5%, so already below that 20% tax rate that's being proposed, versus other sectors like financials still have a relatively high effective tax rate of 28% and can benefit more directly from these changes in the corporate tax code.
You've also pointed out, as you mentioned, we've got a lot of good data, not just from companies here in the U.S., but also around the world. What does that say as we head into 2018?
So there are these very positive underlying economic trends. So if we think about the U.S. economy this year, we've had two quarters back-to-back now with 3% growth. And in the global landscape, we have emerging markets growing, we have the Eurozone growing. It's really the best global growth we've seen this entire expansion. And tax reform is a cherry on top of that positive fundamental backdrop.
All right. Gabriela Santos, global market strategist at JP Morgan Chase. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You count on Marketplace to keep you informed about the economy and then some. It's what we talk about and how we talk about it in what we hope is an approachable, objective, and sometimes unexpected way. As a nonprofit news organization, we have a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. I think it's important work that we're already doing, but with your help, we'll be able to do more of it. For as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes in knowing that you're helping educate and inform people about the economic forces that affect our lives. Donate today at marketplace.org, and thank you.
For the past year, China has been fighting with the U.S. and Europe over the nature of its economy. China wants to be considered what's called a market economy. It's filed complaints at the WTO demanding that its trade partners classify it this way. The U.S. and Europe have said absolutely not. Why all this fuss over a name? Well, we have Marketplace's China correspondent, Jennifer Pak, joining us now from Shanghai to help us understand that. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Sabri.
Why does it matter if China is called a market economy or a non-market economy?
So this is really about how countries are dealing with trade disputes. And it goes back 16 years when China joined the WTO. At the time, it agreed to let other members treat it as a non-market economy. What this means is when the U.S. government or American manufacturers, they're unhappy with Chinese imports, maybe they suspect the products have been subsidized by the Chinese government, which happens, or their products are being dumped on the U.S. market to undercut American producers' prices. It's very easy now for the U.S. to go to the WTO, make a case to slap on more tariffs. Now, the U.S. says 16 years ago, China did not let the market determine the price of its products. And while China has gotten rid of a lot of these controls, it's still not enough.
So if China is classified as a non-market economy, it's easier for the U.S. to levy trade sanctions against it for unfair trade practices.
Yes.
So what does China say to all this?
Well, China rejects these complaints. Here's China's foreign ministry spokesperson Geng Shuang speaking to reporters.
某些国家和人员试图将两者加以联系，明显是在混淆视听。
So here he's saying this has nothing to do with whether China is a market economy or not. He says it's written in the agreement when it joined the WTO that by December 2016, it should be treated the same as the U.S. or other countries in the European Union. The European Union and the U.S. say market economy status is earned, not automatically given. And basically, they're saying if China wants to be treated as a market economy, it should behave like one.
Jennifer, whichever way this goes, are there practical implications for U.S. companies?
Yes, the U.S. is very concerned about the trade imbalance between the two countries, but it's really not that clear-cut if the WTO rules in the favor of the U.S. Here's Louis Kuss at Oxford Economics.
It may improve the competitiveness position of certain U.S. manufacturers. It will also likely make Chinese products in the U.S. more expensive.
And there's also no consensus within corporate America, he says. For example, steel plants are very happy that the U.S. is slapping on tariffs on Chinese imports. But the companies that buy this steel, they may not be very happy because they want cheaper prices.
All right. Complicated as always when it comes to trade. Jennifer Pak, Marketplace's China correspondent, thank you so much.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.